In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen. On this sixth and final Sunday of Pascha, we are blessed to remember, for May 21st, Saints Constantine and Helen, equals to the Apostles. After Pentecost itself, there is no more important and decisive event in church history than the conversion of Constantine. The conversion of Constantine is the conversion of the Roman Empire to Christ. The Roman Empire that had fought the church for centuries now become under Christ. The pagan Roman Empire of Pontius Pilate, of the vicious Christ-hating emperors Nero, Decius, and Diocletian. As a contender for the throne of the emperors, Constantine marched with his army toward the famous battle at the Milvian Bridge around the year 313. On his way, he saw a miraculous vision of the sign of the cross in the heavens with the message, "In this sign, conquer." He had the sign of the cross put on the shields and uniforms of his soldiers. And Constantine would indeed conquer and be victorious. Through him, Christ conquered as well. Christ conquered the very Roman Empire which had condemned him to Golgotha. By the cross, Christ had conquered sin, death, and the devil. As the eternal Son of God in the flesh sacrificed for us, and now by the cross, he conquered Caesar. Because upon his victory, Constantine declared Christianity to be the official faith of the Roman Empire. After almost 300 years of brutal persecution and millions of martyrs whose names appear each day on our church calendar, everything was turned on its head. Until this time, the Christians had been meeting in houses and small buildings quietly for worship. Now the Church of Christ was given pagan temples and even large public buildings to use for worship, and for worship by thousands at a time who would fill those buildings. The church's worship would have to adapt, become bigger and brighter and more elaborate and ceremonial in those large spaces, but still with the Eucharist at the heart of things. Rather than hiding their faith, Christians could practice it boldly and openly without fear, as we ourselves today proclaim Christ is risen. Constantine had submitted his kingship to the King of Kings, and thereby was an example to every king after him. St. Helen, Constantine's mother, went to the Holy Land to discover the true cross, the sign which had sealed her son's victory. She would commission the building of the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem, the Church of the Ascension on the Mount of Olives, and most famously, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, built to house the relic of the true cross that she found and to enclose the Lord's tomb as well. St. Helen, by the way, raised Constantine as a single mother. She was a single mother. His father was of the nobility, but did not acknowledge his paternity. The conversion of Constantine, brothers and sisters, was a complete revolution for the Christian church, which would set the development of Western civilization on its course till this very day, including the flowering of the Byzantine Empire. However, outside of the Orthodox Church, the conversion of Constantine is looked at with skepticism and even hostility. For instance, the Church of Rome does not approve of Constantine because he moved the capital of the empire from Rome to his own newly built city of Constantinople to be the new Rome, further east over the old town called Byzantium. Amazingly, he is not a saint in the Roman Catholic Church. Rome in the West received all the benefits of the empire's conversion, including the ability to freely missionize throughout Western Europe. In Protestant versions of church history, the conversion of Constantine and the empire is viewed incredibly as a compromise, as even a sellout of the faith, a surrender of the church, even to the point of apostasy. They romanticize that the early Christians were most like Protestants in spirit and practice, and that it was best that Christians should just have continued happily to be persecuted and martyred indefinitely. Easy for them to say today, yes, those people should have continued to be martyred. Typical modern armchair quarterbacking. Except then, they had their version of history, we would not be here, and the church wouldn't look like this. Many of us share the inheritance of the Christian Byzantine missions to Bulgaria, Romania, Serbia, and Kievan Rus. One of the blessed fruits of the conversion of Constantine is the great theological flourishing of the same 4th century, later in that century, including the great fathers who adorn the walls of our altar, St. Basil the Great, St. John Chrysostom, St. Gregory the Theologian, St. Athanasius the Great. There was real freedom for men like them to preach, to teach, to theologize, for better or for worse, as heretics likewise had free rein for their ideas. But they were free. There was free discourse. And when the Holy Fathers freely gathered at the First Ecumenical Council, which we'll remember next Sunday, which was called by St. Constantine, they refuted the falsehoods of Arianism and gave us our Nicene Creed. So our creed is the fruit of the church's freedom. And it is said that many of those holy bishops bore the scars and wounds and even the maimings they had received under torture for Christ just a few years before. One of the worst and most widespread persecutions of the church occurred under the Emperor Diocletian up until the year 311. At his death, just 2 years before Constantine took the throne. So right up until that point, the church was beleaguered and battered and suffering and bleeding. And it is as if God said, enough already. Enough already. I'll take the empire for myself. But to those who question the conversion of the empire, the church, the original church, that is, examined itself in light of its new relation to society and to the world. It saw the worldly temptation and evidence of nominalism. Now that Christianity was the faith of the empire, everybody was a Christian, maybe in name only. So, around the time of the First Ecumenical Council, around the year 325, St. Anthony was headed out to the desert of Egypt. And thus was born monasticism. Monasticism as the church's own internal self-correction. As the church's own internal self-correction, as its own attempt to recapture the spirit of the early Christians who gathered in community and held all things in common. But this time through a voluntary martyrdom and self-offering. A black martyrdom instead of the red martyrdom. The church kept its own spiritual equilibrium, which critics do not seem to understand. What's interesting also is the monastic life had its own missionary momentum and would gravitate from the desert to the cities. Our own Saint Simeon, a product of the great Studion Monastery, right in the heart of Constantinople, right in the midst of the city. And people like Saint John Cassian, Saint Mark the Ascetic, moved west, took the monastic spirituality they learned in the desert of Egypt and Palestine, and took it west to France and into Western Europe. So the monastic presence moved from isolation even into the midst of society. And that spirituality touched the life of the church throughout. There was and always will be a tension between the church and the world. Down through church history, in the Christian Byzantine time, many bishops of the church would confront the civil authorities, even emperors, and be persecuted and exiled, as was St. John Chrysostom. There was a symphony of church and state. There was the two-headed eagle as the symbol of that union, but there was not always harmony. Church figures sometimes compromised, but often resisted compromise in faithfulness to Christ and to his church. The conversion of Constantine led to millions and millions of souls receiving the gospel down through the centuries in the life of the church, both east and west. That would not have happened if the church continued to be a semi-legal or illegal organization, always under the threat of annihilation and martyrdom. Finally, we cannot begin to imagine all the ramifications, the alternate life without St. Constantine and Helen, how it would have been. It is life without Western civilization as we have known it. And we're just at that time now where the wisdom and truth of that civilization are being lost and even rejected. And we may indeed be reverting back to a pre-Christian society where the church is hidden and Christians must give witness. But as Constantine saw, may we each remember, in this sign conquer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, through the prayers of Saints Constantine and Helen, equals to the apostles, may our Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us and save us. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen.